we get into the Parsha, I just want to talk a little bit about the unique features of our Jewish calendar when we look at Elul and Tishrei. There are a couple things you will notice as you turn to a Jewish calendar. You'll notice that the 29th day of Elul is followed by the 1st and 2nd of Tishrei. In every other month, when we have 2 days Rosh Chodesh, the first day is the 30th of the old month, and the second day is considered the 1st of the new month. The other thing we know is that Rosh Hashanah is the only Yontiv that is celebrated for 2 days, even in Eretz Yisrael. And it is the only Yom Tov that falls out on the first of a Jewish month. So we know that when the Chumash begins, Bereishis Bara Elokim et HaShamayim v'Haaretz, Rashi asks the question, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu start the Torah with the first mitzvah, which we know is a Chodesh Hazel Lachem Rosh Chodeshim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe and Aaron the mitzvah to set up Rosh Chodesh. And the first time they were asked to do that was Nisan, before they left Mitzrayim. So from that day on, the determination of when a new month started had been given. Moshe was the Gadol HaDor. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. And we learn in the Mishnayos that when it was given to Moshe and Aaron, it was given to them as the legal representatives of the Jewish people. And they had the responsibility to declare the new month. So, we learn in the Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah that ignoring Elul Tishrei, if someone, let us say, in Yericho, saw the new moon on the evening following the 29th day of, Tishrei even, he would go to Yerushalayim with another aide, and when the two of them got there, if their testimony was found to be accurate, based on their having seen the new moon in the appropriate spot at the appropriate time, Beistin would declare the 30th day Rosh Chodesh. And so you would have, as we say, a chaser. The month would be 29 days and not 30. If, on the other hand, nobody came because no one had seen it, Beistin automatically made day 30 Rosh Chodesh. So now that we know that Tishrei is the only day which can fall out on the first of the month, we know that when the time for Mincha comes on the day which potentially could be Erev Rosh Hashanah, there's no witnesses, so the witnesses come the next day. What do you do? How do you know what day this is or isn't? And so the easy answer was, and the Gemara talks about it, we immediately start Rosh Hashanah on that day. So we assume that the day following the 29th of Elul is automatically Rosh Hashanah. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, if the witnesses who were traveling, whether on foot or whether by any other way, because they were allowed to ride horses, etc., if they got there before the Tumid of the afternoon, the Tumid of the Mincha was brought, they would make that day Yontif. As to whether they would keep another day Yontif or not is questionable. It seems that sometimes they would keep the second day as well. In other years, when a witness did not show, they would have to keep the second day. And so we have this constant issue in the days of the Rosh Chodesh being set by witnesses as to what day, and therefore we had the advent of 2 days everywhere. Now, every other Yontif we know does not fall out on the first of the month. Yom Kippur is the 10th, Sukkot is the 15th, Hoshana Rabbah is the 21st, etc. And we know that Pesach is also the 15th, and that 40 days later is Shavuos. Okay? So that is how we ended up with 2 days. Then, generally, because when the calendar was being, so in the diaspora in those days, they didn't always know what day the 15th was, so they kept 2 days. That's how we get the 2 days being kept in Chutz Loretz. In Eretz Yisroel, they would always know when Sukkot is, when Yom Kippur is, etc., and they would always, therefore, not need to keep a second day. When the fixed calendar was set by the second Hillel, they set it up in such a way that Eretz Yisroel kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah like the rest of the world, because of the fact that that's what often happened, even in Eretz Yisroel. But in Chutz Loretz, we're the only ones that we still keep that second day, basically because our ancestors kept it. One other rule that they had to obey by, is the world lo adar resh. Rosh Hashanah cannot be allowed to follow on Sunday Aleph, Dalid Wednesday, or Hey Friday. And the reason those 3 days aren't allowed is because it would cause problems. You would end up, in some cases, with a Yom Kippur on a Friday or a Sunday, which doesn't work. We would also end up times when Hoshana Rabbah might fall out on Shabbos, and then we got a problem bringing the Hoshanas, and so therefore that as well worked into the calculation, so that if Adam came and it was going to end up that Rosh Chodesh would end up, that Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, right, would fall out Aleph, Dalid, right, or Vav, right, what they would do is they would basically manufacture the day to be the next day. And so those are some of the intricacies of how we got to this point. I always like to review this for myself when it happened, when we end up at this time of year. This week's parasha is Kisetse. We know, and unfortunately we hear it more and more, that amongst the goyim, the uncivilized animals, that when they go to war, it's laissez-faire. Once someone puts on the uniform of their country, they seem to feel they have liberty to behave like animals. And we know that with the way they attack, the history of raping and pillaging throughout, and we know that except probably for the U.S. Army, and obviously Tzahal, the other armies of the world are probably no better than animals. However, in the days when we had a Melech Yisroel, when we had a king, and only when we had a king, right, the Torah realized that there is a heightened Yetzer Hara amongst soldiers when they see an exceedingly attractive shiksa amongst the potential captives. And the shiksas would make themselves as alluding as possible because they didn't want to die. They'd rather be in someone's harem or someone's, you know, forced mistress than to end up dead. The Torah, that we're told, allowed a concession for the Yetzer Hara. And it was that if somebody sees a Yefus Tovar, a gorgeous captive, and basically he's just overwhelmed with having to have her, there's a methodology allowed that he can, in effect, have her as a wife. And the Torah's hope is that once the woman could be mutter, this will cut down the soldier's passion. And, you know, forbidden fruits are usually more alluring than fruit you can eat, and maybe the guy will walk away, he'll say, you know what, I don't need this. Moreover, if he's going to continue to go through this process, there are a tremendous number of procedures they have to go through. And that alone may either frustrate the potential husband or the captured potential wife.
Didn't they say that when a person's going out to war, right? They have needs. They're away from their home for 6 months, whatever.
Yeah.
I thought it was permissible for them to...
No. They are not allowed to have relations with the shiksa on the field. They can take her, they can capture her, and they can bring her home and try to go through the process of converting.
Try to convert her?
Huh?
Is saying try to convert her?
Yeah. Right? The Torah allows marrying the shiksa only after the following conditions are met. She has to undergo a month of a purification process and be allowed to mourn for her family, probably her old home, etc. The future husband, it says, will then see her without her gorgeous, you know, makeup and everything else, and he may say, you know what, you know, she's no better than anything else that's available to me. She's required to shave all her hair, and that may make her disgusting. She's required to let her nails grow, though they become ugly, and she has to wear the big day mourning, the clothing of mourning, in other words, the sackcloth type of stuff. And after the guy has seen her sort of in this degraded state of appearance for a month, there's God, you know, the hope is that the passion he had will dissipate. If it doesn't, she's got a month basically to acclimatize herself to the new existence she must lead. She's got to disassociate from any idols she worshipped. And she's got to go through some type of conversion, a gioris.
How's that a proper...
It says, if she's willing to become a gioris who will keep mitzvos, in the first month, she's accepted. If not, bye-bye, baby. In other words, if she says, I can't do this, he cannot mistreat her. He's basically got to let her go, and he can't sell her as a slave or whatever. And then if she goes through a month of this process still willing, he's still required to wait 2 more months before he can marry her. If after 3 months she says, I just can't do this, he sends her away as a free woman. He's not allowed to treat, to enslave her, because we were allowed to have goyish slaves, and he's not allowed to sell her. So it would seem that the Torah has a system to try to, you know, break this possibility to the greatest extent possible. It says that after David HaMelech sinned with Bathsheba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a Navi to tell him, I am going to raise up evil against you for your home. And why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu use the agency of one of his sons? One of the Chachamim said, let a son of a foreign woman repay him for sinning with a Jewish woman. We're told that Avshalom, who went against him, his mother was Macha, and apparently she was the Yefas Toyer, a Gentile princess who David captured, and she went through the procedure and he married her. But it says that the union of a Jew and a Yefas Toyer is presumably not the most yichistic of relationships, and that's prone to generate a child or a son who's rebellious. The Torah juxtaposes its next topic, the Ben Sorer More, the rebellious son, to the laws of Yefas Toar, and where they're teaching us that, that if you should so follow and marry this Yefas Toar, you're likely to have nothing but grief. And that's what David HaMelech had. Avshalom rebelled, and of course we're told that Avshalom was killed by Yoav, his general. It says, look instead to Amram, who married his aunt, Yocheved, who was probably a lot older, because we're told she was born between, when she was the 70th person who came down to Mitzrayim. And look at Boaz, who with his last strength in his life married Ruth and ended up having Oved, a tzaddik, tzaddikim all the way down to David HaMelech, and that's how we get Moshiach. The Torah goes on and says, right, that there's one law in the Torah that has to be respected in the law of Yerusha. That is that the proper bechor of the father gets 2 portions. If there are 4 boys, you divide the estate 5 ways, and the eldest gets 2 parts, 40%, and the rest 20%. And the Torah says that you may end up having your firstborn with a wife you end up hating. And it might very well be this shiksa that you took and converted. But the Torah says, even though you can't stand the wife, you may not dispossess this son from the double portions. We're told that during the days of Alexander the Great, the Ishmaelim claimed, right, that they were the true eldest of Avram Avinu, because Yishmael was older. And they said, we contest Eretz Yisrael's ownership by the Jews. It says that a father has to give double to the eldest. Therefore, we should get two-thirds of Eretz Yisrael. Gavina ben Kosef volunteered to defend the Jews. And he said, dear King Alexander, may a father award gifts to his fathers according to his liking in his lifetime. And he said, yes, of course. And he says, come, let me show you the Torah. The Torah says that in his lifetime, Avram gave the land to Yitzchak, and he gave the other sons presents. Alexander said, well, maybe that was a temporary gift. And he says, no, this was a definite arrangement. Because it says, Avram Avinu gave all of his other sons presents, and he sent them away from the front of Yitzchak. Hashem had told him to do that. When Hashem said, listen to Sarah, who had told them way back when that Yishmael would be inappropriate, Avram followed the exact same precedent when he was divvying up his estate, and Eretz Yisroel went to Yitzchak, and the other people got lesser material items.